So, welcome back to Care Factor. It's our first show for the year. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little bit nervous. It's our first live show, and we have had quite a break. We've both been away, haven't we, Andrea?
We have. Touring the world.
Touring the world. And anyway, today we have a fabulous show. We should remind people this is a show on mental health, and we're both psychologists. So our first guest is also a psychologist. And who else have we got on our show today?
Well, we've got a lovely young girl who's just taken a gap year, and we're really looking forward to meeting her and finding out about what she's been up to.
And we also have a rabbi just to finish off our show. But our first guest is very impressive. It's Moshe Lang, who is actually one of Australia's best-known family therapists. So I'll just tell you a little bit about him before we actually interview him. He was born in Israel. He migrated to Australia as a young man, and he's been here since the 1960s. He studied psychology at the University of Melbourne, and he is the director of the Williams Road Psychotherapy Centre, which he actually founded in the late 70s, which is pretty... it was the first centre of its kind. He's also worked at Bouverie Street, and where he was a senior psychologist, and he has done some work in Israel. He's pretty impressive. He's written lots of books, and he has practiced and taught clinical psychology and family therapy in Melbourne since 1965. So, really, without further ado, Moshe would like to talk about humour. So we have a little bit of a problem because we wanted to talk about mental health, but Moshe, you wanted to talk about humour. So what are we actually going to do about this? How are we going to solve this problem?
We could give up the interview and go home.
Oh, no, so that would be too boring.
That's one way of solving it. Before we do anything else, I just want to correct something.
Okay.
I'm currently the director of Williams Road Psychotherapy Centre.
Okay.
Not Williams Road Family Therapy Center, which I did found in 79, as you said.
Yeah.
But in relation to our problem, you see, I don't think we have a problem because as far as I'm concerned, humor is central to mental health. It's not peripheral to mental health. To start with the negative aspects of humor, humor is used to hurt, to upset, to humiliate, to mock, to tease, and as a guise for hurting people. You know, it is said that words are like bullets and they can kill you. I think that words are worse than bullets because bullets you can surgically remove, but you cannot remove the words once they hurt. On the other hand, humor is also very important. It's important in life, and we could talk about the importance of humor in life, in marriage, in family, in all relationship. But as a therapist, I think it's very central to therapy, at least the way I practice it. Humor is useful in that it helps people to relax. It helps people to connect and connect more deeply, and know that we are on the same page because we understand each other better when we are humorous with each other, etc., etc.
You've also said, Moshe, that humor helps patients see things in a different way.
That's right.
Could you give an example of how that might happen?
I'll give you a humorous example. There is a joke, three Jewish mothers meet, and one says, "Oi," and the other one responds by "Oy vey," and the third one then says "Oy vey is mir," and then they turn to each other and they said, "Didn't we agree not to talk about the children today?" That's an example how you turn things around so you hear it differently. And I think it's a very, very central aspect of humor that it helps people to see and experience life in different ways. That's what humor is in a way. It's a way, a sudden, unexpected way of seeing things differently.
Have you always used humor in your work, or do you think as you develop more experience and perhaps more confidence, that it's something that grew out of your confidence as a therapist or your own personality?
both. I think there is no doubt that I'm more relaxed now, more confident, I'm more comfortable as a therapist, and therefore I can be more myself. And being myself, I can be, at times, hope when it's appropriate, be more humorous too.
So what you mentioned before about the dangers of humour, have you ever had a situation, I guess, in therapy where you've attempted humour or a patient hasn't been ready or where it's backfired because it's not always appropriate, is it? Or is it?
In my book, Corrupting the Young, that I co-wrote with my late wife, Tess, actually, if you read the book, you'll see there is a lot of humor. Now, one of the things about using humor is that I hope that I use humor in such a way so that me and the people I work with, we laugh together. So it's laugh with. The danger is laugh at. And that's the criteria, really. Yeah. Now, I give an example of a family that came to see me. And they tell me that they come from Ballarat. So I say to them, I'm so glad that you came to see me because over the weekend I was in Ballarat for the Begonia Festival. And I could see that they were terribly, terribly upset. And they then tell me a story of why to them Ballarat is a terrible place. And that applies, you see, in family therapy there's a sort of a saying that that message transmitted is not necessarily message received. And that applies to humor too. No matter whatever it is that you say may be understood differently by somebody else. And the skill of the therapist is to negotiate and discuss it. The simplest thing is, you know, if I say something that to me is humorous, and the other person is upset by it, I would say to them, look, you seem upset. And hopefully they'll tell me why they are upset and we will talk about it. Our inability to talk to each other about our experiences is what makes therapy or life impossible at times.
Moshe, do you think family therapy has a particular role for humor, or do you think you can apply humor when you're using a whole variety of approaches to therapy?
Humor is to me like, what's the role of a smile? You know, can in CBT, can you smile in CBT? Or,
No, not very often.
You have to be serious in CBT. To me, in all human relationship, there is a role for humor. The absence of humor is a very serious testimony of a certain type of relationship.
Yeah, I get it now. It's about the relationship. It's not about the approach.
Well, for myself, if I can relate to somebody and we could also joke and kid and be humorous with each other, that means I can relate to you more closely, more intimately. Mm. I can relax more, and therefore we could work better. Now, obviously, there are some people that are unable to laugh. The situation doesn't allow it, their personality, their circumstances, and we have a more difficult job ahead of us.
I think you can sometimes tell, even in a first session, as to whether someone will or won't respond to humour, and I think it also comes out of the relationship. That's my experience. I don't know about you, Andrea, but you know, it's something that I also really enjoy using in therapy. But Moshe, do you think it just comes out of...
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because often people use the word use humor. And whilst I use this expression myself, when I think deeply and carefully about it, I have a problem with the sentence. The very use of humor, like I would not say to you, how do you use your smile in therapy? Or how you use your warmth in therapy? Or your age in therapy? It's an aspect of who and what you are. And it is, in a sense, if you accept, for example, what the Rogerian principle of that the therapist needs to be authentic, for me, not at time to allow myself to be humorous is also not to be authentic, not to be myself. Mm. And when I'm not myself, I'm not as effective as I'm more fully myself, as it were. Having said that, I also need to have respect for the circumstances and the people I talk to.
How do you distinguish between humor and play? Or are they synonymous?
They're twins or cousins. I don't know which you prefer. Obviously, you cannot have play without humor and humor without play. They're interrelated. I recently read somewhere that somebody once said that we don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing. Mm. And the same applies to humor. If we stop having humor, we stop being alive in a way.
What has sparked your interest in this area or in humor in general?
Look, I think it's that, well, I guess all my life I've been attracted to humor. Growing up in Israel, for example, I like most Israelis, I served in the army in Israel. Now, at times, it was very, very hard, very tough, etc. And I cannot imagine going through 2.5 years of military service without us laughing all the time. Mm-hmm. The more the commanding officers, etc., tortures us, tormented us, the more we were laughing. And if somebody took away our capacity to laugh, I think the military service would have been awful for us. To give another example, I grew up during, it's called in Hebrew, the tzena, the rationing period. And how did Israelis cope with the harshness of life? There was a joke. The guy who was in charge of the tzena was a man called Dov Yosef. And the joke was that people were standing in a queue to kill Dov Yosef. No, sorry. They were standing in the queue for some bread. And after a while, one of the guys was standing in the queue for hours, and he says, I'm sick of it. I'm going to kill Dov Yosef. So he comes back 5 hours later, and everybody jumps on him and says, well, did you manage to kill him? Did you kill him? He said, no. He says, so why are you back? He says, the queue to kill him is longer.
That's hilarious. But that's Jewish humor, isn't it, as well?
I hope so.
But it's humor as a way of coping, too, isn't it?
That's right.
We use humor to cope with
that's
difficult
right. yeah.
circumstances.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly that humor is one of the most important ways in which human beings cope with tension, with anxiety, with difficulties.
Almost a survival skill.
And if, therefore, the therapist can help people to acquire or sharpen or restore their sense of humor, he or she is doing a great service for his clients.
Now, we have you've brought some music along, or you've chosen a piece of music to play today. I wonder if you wouldn't mind maybe telling us why you've chosen this piece of music and the significance, or something about the music itself.
No, I'd rather not. I'd rather go back to humor, so because humor is no laughing matter.
But we're going to play the song.
So you play the song, and then
okay.
we'll come back. If you want to, I could talk about it, but it'll take a few days.
Okay. Shalamayim,
It's a beautiful song, Moish. Thanks for choosing it. But can you tell us why you've chosen it and what it means for you, just a little bit?
Yeah, it's a song that I love. I grew up with it. It's a song written by Hannah Senesh, and it's a miracle to me that a young woman who did not speak any Hebrew, 2 or 3 years later, writes one of the most beautiful lyrics written in the Hebrew language. And even the meaning is so beautiful because, amongst other things, the message is that the beauty of life is in its simplicity. Hachol v'hayam v'rishrush bnei amayim means the sand and the sea and the noise of the water of the sea. And also the Malchin, the composer, David Zahavi, is somebody I love his music. He wrote some of the best music that in Hebrew. And the singer, Chava Halberstein, is my favorite.
Thank you. That was really beautiful. Well, we're almost near finishing our interview. Karen, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask Moish?
Well, I think that humor is such a topic we could talk for hours, days, years. Moish, is there anything that you would like to add, anything you particularly wanted to say?
Yeah, I would like to say two or three more things. Number one, I would use myself. It's, to me, it's a very important diagnostic criteria of any relationship. If the relationship is based on laughing at, the relationship is very problematic. If the relationship is based on laughing with, you know that the relationship is a good relationship. And it's a very neat and simple way of diagnosing, I think, all relationship. The other thing, just to underpin the thing that I'm saying, that humor can be used in very, very serious situations. One could read some of the things that I have written. One is, I've written a book titled The Answer Within, which is about my work with a family where mother and then her daughter attempted suicide. And if you read this, this is a humor that is spontaneous humor that comes out of the conversation, out of the interaction with each other. And you could see how the humor allows the family to relax, to connect, to discover its capacity to have joy, playfulness, and pleasure. And I think in my work, there are many examples of that, that humor is used at time of great seriousness. So the idea that you cannot, humor cannot come to play when things are very serious is, to me, very erroneous. It's the other way around. I often say, this is too serious not to joke and kid about.
Mm. I've got another question. It's a bit strange, perhaps, but you know those people who, they joke all the time. You can't get close to them because everything's a joke. They use humor sort of like a defense. Have you got anything, any comments on that?
Yes, that's what I said at the very beginning, that humor can be used negatively and positively. And one of the most aspect of humor that it is used as a defense to avoid seriousness, to avoid pain, in a way that is very destructive. It's very destructive to any relationship.
So Moish, looking at human relationships and the field of human endeavors, do you have any suggestions or recommendations for people out there who are wanting to perhaps learn to look at life differently without having to go into therapy or talking to somebody in particular? What could they do to enhance their lives through humor? I mean, do you have any thoughts about that?
Cultivate their own sense of humor and
How does one do that if it doesn't come naturally? You said be authentic. What if authentically people are not tuned into that side of themselves? They're not funny. They don't appreciate humor.
Probably a number of you listeners know that I go to Israeli dancing.
Yes, I know you do because I've been there with you.
Shut up and let me talk. What happened is that I've been going to beginners in Israeli dancing for 65 years.
Uh-huh.
I claim it's probably a world record. Nobody has done. Now, my
Andrea could be close.
But
we've got to shut up, Karen. Let him talk.
He doesn't look that old. But what I claim is this, that to enjoy dancing when you are good at it, it's very easy. Just about anybody can do that. But to enjoy it when you are bad at it, like me, that takes some doing. And I recommend that you practice, you cultivate your humor because you are deprived in that area. Find a way of learning to cultivate something that you're deficient in.
That's a hard one. It can That's be a hard right. one.
But it's a challenge. It's an opportunity.
Well, I think we've sort of run out of time. Are there any other comments, anything else that you would wish to, you'd like to say?
I think we should conclude by saying that psychologist humor is no laughing matter.
That's a beautiful way to end.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.